This is Inheritance. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the American Legion, presents stories woven from that wonderful fabric of dreams, achievements, and ideas that makes up the tapestry of America's past. Today's story, Mother Bickerdyke. Mother Bickerdyke in the Army of the West, 1861 to 1865. War years, sad years. But Mary Ann Bickerdyke strode out of the smoke and misery somewhat larger than life. She herself said only of her work,
"I was in 19 hard-fought battles in the departments of the Ohio, Tennessee, and Cumberland armies. I did the work of one and tried to do it well."
The work of one. Well, there were many who could tell you more. She joined the Army at Cairo, Illinois, on June 9th, 1861, quite unofficially. The Army hadn't invited her.
All aboard!
She stood on the railroad station platform as a train pulled out. A big, tall, plain woman of 44, dressed in workmanlike black calico and bonnet, completely surrounded by piles of boxes, bags, and bundles. A horse and buggy driven by a young man in captain's uniform drove up beside her.
You're Mrs. Bickerdyke?
Yes, and you'll be the angry young doctor come to meet me.
I beg your pardon?
Dr. Woodward, the one that wrote the letter home to Galesburg about the camp.
Oh, yes, ma'am. You read my letter?
The Reverend Beecher, he read it out in church. The boys are dying, you said, though the war is just 2 months old and they haven't yet gone to battle. They're dying in filthy, ill-equipped hospital tents, neglected and untended. Because soldiers aren't supposed to get sick, you said.
Yes. Dying of dysentery, pneumonia, typhoid. Lying on rotten straw. Under rotten canvas with the sun boiling in through the rips. Or the rain when it comes down like it did yesterday.
There was a lot of crying in church that day, Doctor, when he read it. And then, instead of a sermon, Reverend Beecher asked the congregation and the Knox College folks to plan how they could make things better. Well, sir, they decided to send me.
Oh, I see. Well, we'd better start for the hospital. The day's getting on.
These things have to go.
All of them?
They're supplies for the sick boys. Food and bedding and clothes.
Well, we can't get them in this buggy.
No, yes, you can, with me to help you. Now, put this box here and... What's the matter, Dr. Woodward?
Well, to be very frank, the Army doesn't have women nurses, and it doesn't want them. And the particular general at this particular post doesn't even like women to visit the camp.
Is that so? We'll see.
My regimental hospital, ma'am. Let me help you down.
Can we go right in?
Yes, if you want. Now listen, ma'am. You may be shocked at what you see.
I came to see.
All right, ma'am. Now mind where you step. They're crowded so close. This way.
Oh, you ought to be ashamed, poor fellas. How bad off are they, Doctor?
Well, the red-headed boy there with typhoid, I'm afraid maybe before tomorrow.
Well, that one there, sitting on the cot, he's able to be up, huh? He's the strongest of the lot?
He's the nurse.
What?
He's convalescent, according to Army records, so he's named to help the others. He gives them water.
From that pail by his bed?
Yeah, and fans the flies away from their faces.
But he can't stand up, let alone move around to help the others. Well, now, this will just have to be cleaned up.
I know.
No, I mean right now, today, right away. I saw some empty hogsheads outside. We can get some of the able-bodied soldiers to cut them in half for tubs. Now, I'll get the water started heating on the campfire while you go round up some helpers.
Helpers to do what, Mrs. Bickerdyke?
Give these poor, dirty, sick fellows a bath.
But, Mrs. Bickerdyke, these men are ill. Some of them are running temperatures, and a bath in the open...
It's 90 in the shade, Doctor. It won't hurt them a mite. I'll speak to them. Boys! Boys, I bet you haven't had a bath or a good meal since you've been here. But I come from home to change all that. My, your mothers will be put out to see you now. You'll feel a lot better washed and cleaned. Now, how many of you think you could stand up with help and get yourselves tub good if you was to get fried chicken afterwards? Ah, good lads. Well, we'll get somebody to carry those of you who can't walk. And while you're seeing to tubbing them outside, Doctor, I'll need some clean straw for new bedding in here and good strong boys with a shovel to scrape out this top layer of mud you call a floor.
She sounds like my mother, Doc.
She sure does.
Man, washing for good food, Doc.
Well, Dr. Woodward?
Yes, ma'am, Mother Bickerdike. Here, Andy, you shovel like she says.
She had enlisted for the war. When she came back the next morning and found five other hospitals even worse than Dr. Woodward's, she exploded to one of the doctors. He rushed off to complain to the general. That delighted her. It gave her a chance to meet this man who didn't like women in camp.
Well, General, you like it or not, women do make the best nurses. But if you've got your prejudices, you're the general, and I guess I can't change them all at once. Best thing I see you can do right now is to get some of your healthy men out of the guardhouse and let them help the doctors. And another thing, it's just a waste of money and men both to hand out hardtack rations and uncooked food to sick men lying in bed who can't fix it.
Madam.
And if they could, they couldn't eat it. Now, why don't you give me the cash value of the rations for the sick men and have the right food bought and cooked for them? I'll buy it, I'll cook it. I'll even teach the well men how to cook for themselves, if you like. I'm a good cook.
Madam, did you know you were called in here to be reprimanded?
That's all right, General. It gave me a fine chance to talk with you. It does make sense, doesn't it, sir?
Come to think of it, madam, it does. But would you remember Army regulations, ma'am, now that you're going to be with us?
From then on, she had a sort of semi-official status with the Union Army. There was a lot to do. On Grant's suggestion, she was appointed matron in charge of supplies. But the chief surgeon, who didn't share the general's enthusiasm for her, set up rules to hem her in. She was not to cook. She was not to go into the wards. Well, she didn't mind, so long as things went well for her boys. But when she passed the open door of a ward one day and a young orderly turned around with his uniform blouse open, she walked in at once.
You're not sick, young man.
No, ma'am.
You're not a patient here. You're on duty as orderly, able-bodied and sound.
Well, you know I am.
Look, it's Mother Bickerdike.
Oh, hello, boys. I'll visit with you in a spell. Right now, it's your orderly I business with.
You're not supposed to come in the wards, ma'am.
You're not supposed to steal sick men's clothes.
What? I don't know what you mean.
Then I'll show you. I mean this.
Now, hey, let go of my shirt.
I'm just turning the neckband out. It's got letters marked on it real plain. NWSC. What does that stand for, boys? NWSC?
Northwest Sanitary Commission.
Right, and the things it sends here come to me for the sick boys and the sick ones only.
How about his pants, Mother?
Now, wait a minute. They're mine.
All right, you can keep the pants. And so I come right to you, Doctor.
Your action was high-handed, madam, and the men's accusation is baseless.
You ain't checked into it.
I have no thieves in my hospital.
The ward masters come to me with orders for 2 bottles of whiskey and 4 of port wine. They won't tell me where it's going. The cook gets beef broth and dried fruit, things for special diets, but he won't tell me whose diets. Andy and I see lots of people going into the kitchen. Nurses and orderlies and doctors even. People without business in the kitchen.
The water supply is in the kitchen. It is a natural place to go.
You won't let me.
I will not have a troublemaker on my staff. You will please pack up and leave.
Doctor, I'm here to stay as long as the men need me. If you put me out the door, I'll come in at the window and the patients will help me in. I'm going straight to Ulysses Grant. We'll see who gets put out of here.
The The new surgeon who was put in charge welcomed Mother Bickerdyke as a partner, and things settled down peacefully. As the situation improved, Mother Bickerdyke got a little bored. The pioneering was over, so when the army moved south, she moved with it. The night after the Battle of Fort Donelson, in his tent on that field, Colonel Jack Logan was trying to get to sleep. He was not having an easy time of it. He was cold, and his wounded shoulder hurt. Looking out through the tent flaps across the now silent battlefield, he sat up suddenly.
What? Johnson.
Yes, sir.
There's someone moving out there among the bodies.
Oh, no, sir. The doctor said they brought all the wounded in. Nobody'd be out there now no more.
Look there. See that light moving around? Now it's down. Now it's up.
Yeah.
Like somebody's stooping.
Well, nobody'd be robbing the dead, would they, sir? They wouldn't be brave enough.
Cowardly enough, despicable enough. Get out there and bring that man to me, Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Johnson was gone a long time. When he returned, it was a woman he led into the young colonel's tent. A tall, big-boned woman wearing an officer's greatcoat and carrying a lantern. There were traces of tears on her cheeks.
Madam.
It's Mrs. Bickerdyke, Colonel.
I'm sorry I kept your man so long, Colonel, but he was a great help to me.
Help to you?
I came to the field hospital, and they said all the wounded had been brought in and cared for, and that I should go back and sleep, but then I began to wonder how they could really be sure. What if they'd missed somebody?
So, you went to look.
She looked at each one, Colonel, no matter how bad it was. All over the whole field she went. She leaned close to make sure, touching them.
Well, they could have missed one. To be wounded is to be frightened, even the bravest man.
You're a very wise and gentle woman, which isn't exactly what I'd heard about Mrs. Bickerdyke.
Gentle? Me? Maybe inside sometimes. You're wounded yourself, aren't you, son? And you haven't been able to sleep. I'll make you a cup of tea.
Well, that would help. It's a long night.
I had hoped to find even one. Well, I've looked and I'm sure, and now I can sleep. You're as easy to talk with as the men, for all you're an officer, son. I think we'll be friends.
And I think we are.
At Corinth, word came that weary troops at the end of an all-day march would be coming past the hospital tents heading into the heart of the battle. Mother Bickerdyke hustled up a bucket brigade to serve the tired, hungry men. Their captain led the way on horseback.
Captain! Will you give the order to halt? We have coffee and soup and bread ready for your men and fresh water for their canteens.
I'm afraid we haven't the time, madam. We're on our way to battle. Good day.
He on his fine horse while his poor men walk behind. Is he around the corner yet, Andy?
Yes, I'm out of sight.
Out of sound, too?
What are you planning, Mother?
This. Halt! Don't stand gaping at me, Andy. Go help serve the boys.
Well, you will send them along later after their captain.
Sure, when they've had a little rest and food and are fit to fight. Certainly. After a while.
There was a small investigation later. One sergeant explained,
"We didn't know who gave the order. We thought it was some general who happened to be at the hospital. Sounded like a general."
Mother Bickerdyke said,
"I won't do it again. Unless I have to."
She had an official status now, agent of the Sanitary Commission. It didn't change her activities, it only made some of them legal. At Memphis, she took a job on that no one else would tackle. You say you're anxious to serve, Mrs. Bickerdike. Well, outside town at Fort Pickering, there's the Army Isolation Hospital for smallpox patients. They have no one to help them except each other. There are 9 bodies in the beds now awaiting burial. The officer at the fort says there'll be a mutiny if he orders a burial party to go in after them.
It sounds like a place needs cleaning up. I've cleaned up lots of bad ones. How do I get there? Andy, there must be lots of local boys who've had smallpox and can't catch it again. We'll get them to scrub the floors and whitewash the walls. We'll bury the dead and burn the old clothes. We could bathe the patients and give them clean beds. Doctors don't come near the place.
Ma'am, the doctor took Jimmy's eggs away from him.
Oh, what did he want to do that for?
Jimmy's crying like a baby.
I've been trying to bring him along so careful.
And the doctor's coming to complain to you.
He's going to complain. We'll see who has a complaint to make.
Madam, I found eggs under a man's pillow in Ward J.
Yes, doctor, hard-boiled eggs.
Now, what kind of a hospital do you think this is?
What kind of a doctor do you think you are? Jimmy hasn't been able to eat solid food for a long time now, and he'd clean give up. He was afraid he'd never be able to. He was so sure he was going to die. And he would have, too, without some hope. So I showed him the eggs, and I let him feel them, but he was still afraid they'd be gone when he could have them. So I let him keep them.
Ridiculous pampering, madam. These men are soldiers.
Some of them are weaker and sicker than babies, and they got to be pampered if you want to make them into soldiers and men again. Give him back his eggs.
Of course not.
Then I'll get him a fresh supply, and he can sit on them till they hatch.
The infuriated doctor went to General Sherman to complain.
And you say this woman who was insubordinate was Mother Bickerdike? Oh, I'm sorry, Doctor, but I couldn't discipline her. If you want her disciplined, you'll have to take her to the White House. She outranks me.
The worst time was to come. Chattanooga. At Chattanooga, the wind howled continuously off Missionary Ridge.
Sounds like it says, go home. Go home.
More like no home. Or maybe your turn. It ain't friendly.
On November 23rd, the guns started in earnest. The Battle of Lookout Mountain was on.
You can't see what's happening up there. They're in the clouds.
You don't need to see up there, Mother. Look what's coming.
Stretcher bearer!
Well, we're ready if they're not too many. Hospital tents are here. This way, boys.
By the afternoon of the first day's fighting, the wounded filled the waiting tents. Then men were laid on the frozen ground, propped against trees, dropped in the paths by tired stretcher bearers. By the end of the 3 days' battle, Mother Bickerdike had 1,500 wounded men to care for. She could make more beds with spruce boughs. She could give them her panada and soup. But the only way to heat the hospital tents was to open the tent flaps to the great central fire. And the cold grew colder, mixed with sleet and rain. The first day of the new year...
Mother! Mother! Up at the north end of camp, the tents are blowing over.
Oh, Andy. Well, get some of the contrabands to help you and more ropes to tie the tents down.
Yes, right away.
Oh, now the rain's letting up a little. We can build the fires higher. We've got to keep our wounded warm somehow tonight. Andy, get more bricks for warming and get these warm ones around to the sick. Build a shield around them.
We're running out of wood, Mother.
Oh, we can't be.
You've burned so much.
I had to. Oh, we can't run out of wood. The good Lord won't let us.
What are you doing, Mrs. Bickerdike, out in this weather?
I'll not have my boys froze to death, Major.
You can't keep out the cold with your two hands and determination, ma'am.
I can if I have warm bricks in my hands. The wood is getting low. Major, will you get me some men to cut down more trees?
I can't, Mrs. Bickerdike.
You can't.
Everything's soaked through and frozen. Too hard to cut and too wet to burn. Now go to bed, Mrs. Bickerdike. Save yourself.
1,500 men are going to freeze to death tonight. Go to bed yourself. Oh, what are we going to do, Andy?
Oh, you're always the one that knows what to do, Mother.
Oh, Andy.
Huh?
Look there ahead. Beyond the edge of camp.
Oh, yes'm. What? Oh, the old breastworks, you mean?
The old breastworks. Snug as a bug. All that good wood under the earth, dry and unfroze. Yes, sir, Andy boy. Now, you go roust out the Pioneer Corps and tell them to bring their mules and chains.
But you can't tear up Army breastworks, ma'am.
They're not needed now, not where they are.
But, ma'am, the generals haven't said so, and those breastworks belong to the generals.
No, tonight they're firewood for my wounded boys.
But
the generals can talk about it tomorrow. Now go rouse up the pioneers. Tell them I'll have hot mash for their mules and strong toddy for them. And they better come running.
Next day, the generals did talk about it.
Madam, consider yourself under arrest.
All right, as soon as I've gotten these hot bricks and hot drinks to the boys and the weather moderates a little, I haven't time right now.
When things quieted down and her boys were safe, she admitted she owed them an explanation. It was very much to the point.
I know I put you in a predicament, sirs, and I'm sorry. I respect military discipline, and I enforce it, too, but the other night was bad. We couldn't be bothered by what's proper when our boys were dying. They'd already been thrown out in the wet and chilled to the bone. Oh, they'd have froze to death, sure, if the fire went out. And if the news about 1,500 boys freezing to death under you as officers had got up north into the newspapers and Congress, well, it wouldn't have helped you in a military way. They'd have blamed you, not me. So maybe we can forget it. And I wish you'd let that poor sergeant of the pioneers out of the guardhouse. He just did what I told him, and he worked wonderful hard. And now that we have that on the record, I apologize.
Four years of war. Chattanooga had been bad, but there was still Kingston, Kennesaw Mountain, Marietta, the whole Atlanta campaign with Sherman. Thousands and thousands of boys to care for. But finally, they came to the end. In the railroad yards of Alexandria, Virginia, Mother Bickerdike had her last great encampment to house and feed as they gathered for the victory parade.
Mother, come look at old Whitey.
Oh, my, but he's handsome, Andy. Oh, a flower blanket for you, you old war horse, you. Oh, my, he doesn't look like the old bag of bones you found for me after Corinth.
Well, the boys were up all night currying and combing, shining his hooves.
You even tied up his tail with ribbons. Oh, Andy, I think he knows he's handsome. He's got a proud look in his eye. Whitey, you're going to see the president. Oh, gracious me, it's time to go, and I'm not ready. I've been so took up with Whitey's dress, I forgot my own. The lady sent me a plum-colored riding skirt, Andy, and still in my tent.
Come right beside me, Mother. We're going to lead the 15th, you and I.
Colonel Logan. Oh, excuse me, General Logan. My mind slipped back to Donelson for a minute. Oh, you look fine and handsome. And your horse, too.
We'll make a pair, Mother. It's time to start.
I'm not ready. I'd shame you in my calico.
That's how we've known you all these years, a cyclone in calico. It's more fitting than any new dress. Come on.
All right. Give me a hand up, Andy.
Yes.
Get up, Whitey.
Over the long bridge into Washington, up Pennsylvania Avenue, side by side they rode, leading the 15th, cheered and applauded. And Mr. Lincoln himself saluting at the White House. And then she made her excuses and rode away alone by a back street down to a strategically placed tent near the parade's line of march. Andy was waiting for her.
Well, everything's fixed just like you told me, Mother.
Lemonade and sandwiches.
No, already in waiting for them as wants them.
It's a hot day and a long walk. They'll want them.
Well, how are you going to let them know it's here? Oh, you're not going to shout out halt again.
No, just come. Boys! Oh, what do you think, Andy? They're going to buy my calico. This old dress. They want to keep it. They're going to give me $100 for it. Sparkles in it and all. Oh, that'll buy a lot of things for the boys.
They kept her dress, and they built a statue of her on the courthouse square in Galesburg. And at Richmond, California, in 1943, they launched a little victory freighter, the Mary Ann Bickerdike. She made 28 trips to the Pacific, to Tarawa, Saipan, Tinian, and Niuetok, to all the little bitter islands. She carried spam and sulfur, blood plasma and DDT, to weary and wounded soldiers. The men in the shipyard who had made her probably never heard of Mother Bickerdike, but they built a memorial she herself would have been mighty satisfied with.
For the boys.
You've been listening to Inheritance, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with the American Legion. And now it's our privilege to hear from a past national president of the American Legion Auxiliary, Mrs. William H. Corwith. Mrs. Corwith.
The moving and inspiring story of Mother Bickerdike, who pioneered in the care of men wounded in battle, points up the constant need for progress in nursing. President Eisenhower's recent proclamation of National Nurse Week paid tribute to the nurses, whose work has proved so important to the country's welfare and security, and emphasized the contributions, past and present, that the nursing profession has made. Though the demand for nurses is far from filled, today more nurses than ever before are standing guard over your health. Nearly 500,000 are using their skill and training in homes, clinics and hospitals, in the armed forces, and in public health agencies throughout the country. The American Legion Auxiliary has for many years assisted in the recruitment of these nurses and helped young people obtain their training by providing scholarships for nursing education. Scholarship programs for nursing are widespread throughout auxiliary units, as well as in many Legion posts. The importance of this recruitment work has not diminished. Expansion of America's overall health program has created a need for many thousands more trained people. An estimated 50,000 additional registered professional nurses are necessary to provide minimum standards of care. And 60,000 new licensed practical nurses a year could well be employed to work under the supervision of doctors and professional nurses. The American Legion Auxiliary urges all those interested in a rewarding and satisfying career in nursing to write nursing careers, care of their local postmaster, or to inquire at their nearest hospital or school of nursing. Our nurses are most vital to care for the sick and to protect those who are well, and ultimately to keep strong and healthy the America of our inheritance.
Thank you, Mrs. Corwith. Next week, Inheritance will again take you on a journey through the pages of American history. Today's story about Mother Bickerdike was written by Dorothea J. Lewis. Evelyn Varden played Mother Bickerdike, and Alexander Scourby was heard as the narrator. Others featured in the cast were Bob Hastings, Jim Bowles, Robert Carroll, Jack Grimes, Gene Leonard, Bill Liston, Jim Stevens, Edward Cullen, Matt Crowley, Joe DeSantis, and Robert Dryden. Music was composed and conducted by Roy Shield. Inheritance was produced by Wade Arnold and directed by Ed King. This is Bill Hanrahan speaking.
Enjoy fine variety entertainment on the Dennis Day Show today over most NBC radio stations.